Sometimes It Takes a Rocket Scientist with Dr. Pamela Menges.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Menges with Sometimes It Takes a Rocket Scientist, and Dr. Bart Bartholomew is joining us today for part two. Enjoy. And one of the things I mentioned to you earlier, and this is a concern I have, and I assume that a lot of people do, that our key high-level government agencies seem to be losing their cultural foundations.
Yes.
In terms of their structure and leadership. And I think this is a significant, I'm not going to say threat, I'm going to say challenge to the way we do things in the US. And I would like to see more emphasis on knowledge management.
Yep.
And respect for the history and the foundations for what the agencies have done and what they need to do.
Absolutely. And knowledge management, I'm glad you brought up that term. At my age, by the way, this is jokingly, okay, people come to me for wisdom, okay? Whenever you got white hair and you've been around a long time and, you know, you haven't been shot yet or something, they go, hey, tell me about, you know, the old, like you are, you know, tell me about the old days, you know, what did you guys do? Knowledge management is absolutely a form of wisdom, okay? And oh, it's yeah. It's no longer hard to do. I mean, my gosh, look at what we got. And the other day, I simulated using ChatGPT, a simple AI system, okay, a dialogue between 10 people that we created, okay? And these were, like, could be you. I interviewed these people. I talked about their personal characteristics, their lives, their history, and their technology. And then we had a ChatGPT session on a particular subject, okay? Now, the subject has to be pretty well defined. Otherwise, you know, within 1 hour, we had another session which built on the first session. And we were coming up with phenomenal answers. And we never involved a human being in the entire thing. Now, if we involve real human beings, let's say I put you in, ChatGPT could go find everything about you, you know, including the speeches you gave in your podcast. They not only simulate your knowledge, they simulate your behavior too. Like, oh, she's a pushy gal, or, you know, she's a quiet gal, or whatever. We'll be able to do that without bothering too many people. And that really is knowledge management to some extent. That's based on the past, but we can use it to look at where do you go? You know, where one question we ask is, what do you think the most crucial technology developments are needed for, are needed to do? We were talking about, and I hate this term, the global power conflict. It's now a new term, GPC, I think, global powers conflict. I hate the word conflict because I truly would rather see the global powers collaboration. Now, that's a hard thing to get. China, Russia, India, United States, you know, Canada. How do you get them to collaborate? But we're using ChatGPT and AI to simulate sessions between leaders in those countries to see where the problems are, see where it breaks down, you know, see where China walks away from the table and stuff like that. Now, it's not real, but it's a simulation, you know, and you used AI before anybody, and now we're using it, you know, with the capability it has.
Well, there were other people using AI.
Well, not much.
There was, you know, Harvey and Drexler,
Oh, yeah, well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and but I had a different approach. And it's interesting, there's a guy at MIT now calling it liquid neurons. And of course, if you look back and looked at my work, you go, oh, she was kind of doing that 25 years ago.
You were. Yeah. You were ahead of the curve, for sure. Yeah.
Now, the other part of this is that you're talking about, you know, global stuff. Number one, you're talking about creating basically a digital dossier on how people function. So we're looking, and this is an important thing that people don't understand, is AI is being used to study respondent behavior. In other words, how they respond to things.
Exactly,
and that's a concern for me, because where it's highly productive for us to say, We're going to look at a concept in battle management for dealing with world powers, but also there are some human rights issues. Yeah, and that's I think a concern. But from a bigger concern is we need to find a way to get what's the term world leaders to behave like adults again.
Exactly. Yes. They're like little kids in the
Yeah.
playground fighting each other. I'll nuke you if you're not happy with me. That is frankly, Pam, I'm worried. Now I'm old and maybe it's the time to get worried before you go away. But I don't like what I see. I see more division in this country, more division in the world, more and more rogues. That scares the living daylight out of me. Korea, even Iran. I don't how bad they are, but it worries me. And a lot of these guys have a nuclear program.
Oh yeah, everybody does. But you have to understand, North Korea has a nuclear program because Russia has been helping them.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah, but still. So we have issues of proliferation. We have issues with people like Vladimir Putin who are using nuclear menacing as a tool, which I find
It's
just obscene.
terrible. Absolutely.
And we, but we don't seem to have the ability to respond to this kind of behavior. What I find really extraordinary that we don't have people standing up in the West going, "No, just cut it out. We're not going to do this."
Exactly. No, I mean, it seems so logical. And in our personal lives, if we had a family that was dysfunctional or just friends or whatever, we do that, right? We'd say, wait a minute here, this is not where to go. We got to start. What do we have in common? What is it? Now, of course, in common is survival, right? Because
Right.
on the nuclear issue, I don't know if you read it. It's called Nuclear War. It just came out. I don't know if you can see it, but the name of the book is Nuclear War. I just bought it, and in the first chapter, which is about 5 pages long, the world goes away because of one errant hydrogen bomb hitting the Pentagon. Okay, errant being some nut let it off. The world goes away in about well, it doesn't go away, but it collapses very, very quickly. So the nuclear threat is terrifying to me because there are some crazy people that may have access to one. All it takes is one,
Well, we have a proliferation issue right now, and largely it's due to the lack of leadership in the Western world and our ability to collaborate with other partners. And obviously, the Middle East is a significant issue.
Absolutely.
Iran has every intention of acquiring a nuclear warhead, and we made the mistake of not making them friends, which we should have done 20 years ago,
Absolutely.
because
Absolutely.
they're an educated, competent, highly sophisticated society.
Absolutely.
And now, which is God-smacking to me, they're now friends with Saudi Arabia, who had been their arch enemy for 25 years. And the United States fought a surrogate war against their people in Saudi Arabia. I mean, to me, it's just stunning that we don't seem to have people. It's like Washington is half asleep. I don't know how we fix that. We
I
need to
know what I
invigorate
was just going to
nuclear.
say. I was going to say the opposite of that. I really do credit Ronald Reagan for saying, look, we don't want a nuclear war with the Soviet Unions. What
No.
can we do to prevent that? And of course, some
Right.
of it was strength, but some of it was compromised to some extent. The NAS program was part of Star Wars, and he wanted to show, we could do it. But on the other hand, it was like the olive branch and the weapon. He was offering Gorbachev an olive branch too, of
Carrot
some
and a
sort.
stick.
I got
Carrot.
carrot and stick.
But
So I'm
you have
worried
to
too,
remember.
Pam. You got more years to live than me, but I'm worried.
Well, here's it. I want to say very quickly because you don't hear about this in like CNN. This Strategic Defense Initiative, Star Wars, trained a whole generation of scientists and engineers. It basically funded the infrastructures we currently have. And my generation benefited tremendously from it. Now, we don't see that with the millennials and the Zs. We don't see these
I
great
agree.
programs. We don't see these great efforts. We have people from Wall Street to IBM deciding what technology is in this country, and we can't do that. We have to have leadership that recognizes the importance of technology in the structure of our economy, our security, our defense. and what benefits our society. And the other part of this, I think, and
I just want to say amen to that, Pam. I completely agree with what you said.
And the other part of this is that, you know, I'm a weirdo aerospace engineer because I'm actually an engineering physicist, and I've been to like nuclear weapons school. I was trained by Dr. William Hyland Chambers as well as you. He founded the Nuclear Emergency Search Team. Mm-hmm. I worked in the intelligence community, and that most Americans today, and including some listening to this now, don't realize the Department of Energy, they're not the guys who put the stars on your refrigerators. They're a defense and intelligence agency.
Yes, right.
Right? And apparently someone needs to tell Congress.
Yeah. I think part of that is a symptom of the bigger issue of how divided we are. You know, the reason they're asleep, I do believe that part of the reason that they're asleep is they spend so much time fighting each other that very little, you know, collaboration is there. Now, I know there are good people in Congress. I know some people that
are
wonderful people. But then when you get to the top of the pile and you get one party just screaming that the other guys are a bunch of nuts and vice versa, it's kind of hard to get anything done. It would be like a marriage that is completely dysfunctional. And usually that ends up in divorce. But in America, we can't afford a divorce. You know, we have to. What I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't. And here we get this upcoming election. I don't want to get into that. But, you know, and there's no difference from what happened 4 years ago or 8 years ago. We haven't learned a lesson yet. We're still mad at each other, you know.
Well, I'm concerned when they're saying, oh, it's the end of democracy. It's the end of the country. No, it's not. The United States is not going to come to an end because we got another president who may or may not be terribly competent. It's not the issue. We are a country that is fairly substantial internationally still. We're still one of the probably two superpowers on the planet. Sure. United States is not going to come to an end. We've got to stop this pre-adolescent crap.
Yeah. It is. It's childish. It's absolutely childish. Yeah. Or very old age. It's like childish behavior with old people, you know, or something like that.
Join us next time on Sometimes It Takes a Rocket Scientist. For part 3 of Dr. Pamela Menge's interview with Dr. Bart Bartholomew.